Okay, guys, we can open our handouts, and we're going to do a little bit on Sefiras HaOmer. Turn to the first page. Some of this we're going to do very fast, and some of it we'll do a little bit slower. So, Sefiras HaOmer itself, we know from the Torah, Sheva Shabbos is Tamimos, Sefartim Lechavi Macharas HaShabbos, two different psukim, focusing on two different, according to many, two different ideas. One may be the counting of weeks, the counting of days. Is the mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer a separate mitzvah? Is it connected to Pesach? Is it connected to Shavuos? There's this whole diyun regarding love Omer, ba Omer, based on that whole idea if Sefiras HaOmer is a separate mitzvah with Ne'atzma or not. But there is a overlay, a mourning overlay that came to the whole notion of Sefiras HaOmer, that is post, obviously, the Bible, post the Torah, indicating those ideas. And this overlay, this tragic overlay, is found in a series of different, either statements within the Medrash or in the Gemara itself. So let's look at the sources in front of us. Okay? Source A. Rabbi Akiva, it says like this. Rabbi Akiva says, if you have Talmidim in your youth, also raise Talmidim in your old age, you don't know what will happen to them. Why? Because we're told the following. Is everyone with me? Page 1A, second line of first source. Yud bet elef Talmidim hayula Rabbi Akiva. There were 12,000 students, Rabbi Akiva. By the way, notice here, it does not say there were 12,000 pairs of students, but it says 12,000 students. And it says that they died. Why? Look at the second to last line of A. Lo mesu ela shahisa einam tsara ela le'elu. Because they didn't have respect for each other. Elu le'elu tanu datchem shelo tasuk ma'asehem imdu milu kol aretz Torah. Okay? So there is this idea they didn't have respect for each other. Then the Mishnah, the Gemara in Yevamos, basically says something a little bit larger. Look at the Gemara in Yevamos. First of all, B, Amru, Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Tamidim. So what's the first difference here? There are 2,000 pairs. And then, after that, it says some more. It says that they died, the second line, Bifnei Shalom Nagu Kavod Zevazet. Okay? Basically the same idea before that we said till now. But look at B, where I have underlined. Tana. There's an additional addendum to the Gemara, a later addendum to the Gemara, which says, first thing, Kula Mesu Mipesach Maratzeres. So that's another thing that is not mentioned in the Medrash Rabbah. That number one is they all died from Pesach till Shavuos. The Amar Rachama, Bar Chama, Vissim Rachi Bar Avon, Kulam Mesu Misara. They all died from a horrible death. What was that death? Rav Nachman says, Asakra. We'll see what Asakra is in a second. So you have the Medrash Rav of Bereshit, which is the oldest historically communication on this issue. It doesn't say it was 2,000 pairs. It doesn't say when they died. It mentions 12,000 students. You have the Gemara in Yevamos, which says what I just said. And let's look at C on the next back of the page. C. Koheles Rava. That's a Lord, the most latest. And the Koheles Rava says, Rebbe Kiva Omer, Shneim Asar Elef Tamidim Hayali. I had 12,000 students, also not saying when they died, not saying anything other than they didn't treat each other with respect. Okay? So you see there are some differences here. How do the Gaonim look at this? Look at D, source D. Usha'altem, lama ein mekadshim ve'ein konsim mepesach atzeres. Why don't we get engaged, halachic engagement, or married to Pesach atzeres? Imach mas iser olav. Is it an iser or not? Have yadinan shalom mishum iserhu. It's not because of the iser. Ela mishum minag avelus. It's a minag of avelus. Shekach amru chachamim. The rabbi said, shneim asar alafim zugim tamidim hayilol Rabbi Akiva. There were 12,000 pairs of students that Rabbi Akiva had. V'kulam meisu ben Pesach Atzeres. They all died between Pesach and Shavuos. Ad shelo nagu kavod zeh v'zeh. And we learn furthermore that they died from a strange death. What is that strange death? a sakra. By the way, then you have Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and Rabbeinu Yeruchim quotes Rav Hai Goan, look at E, source E, Lekadesh Lichnos, Lekadesh Lichnos, Bein Pesach La'atzeres, Kasaf Rav Hai writes, Rav Hai Goan, Betshuvas, Shemakachim. You can do the chuppah piece, you can do the engagement piece, you can do the Hareyat Mekudesha piece, Ke'ein Simcha, El of a chuppah, but you can't do the Nesuan piece. That you can't do. Ubasuda, you can't have the meal. Aval im balish o im yichnos orim lo loyat lo tase. If they come to you and they ask you, you should say you can't get married. But if someone gets married without asking you, it's not the end of the world. Why? Because of what happened to the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, the Torah says the same thing. The Torah says nohagim b'chol mekamot shalolisa isha ben pesach latzeres. You don't get married between Pesach and Shavuos. Batam shalah harbos v'simcha shabaot hazman. By the way, we haven't seen anywhere that says you can't shave, you can't take a haircut, you can't do any of that. That is not found in any of the earlier poskim. You don't find any of that. Meisu tamidi Rabbi Akiva v'kasav haritzgeis dafkin nesuin. It's basically just marriage. Shehu ikar simcha avala aris l'kadesh. Engagement is okay. Okay. And then he goes on, and gazeh horu ha-ga'onim. That's what the ga'onim said. Now let's turn to the next page. Next page is source G. We start to see some more things here. Okay, the first thing is, we start seeing the Avudra home. We start seeing in the Avudra home an interesting idea, and that is that Avudra home says, you know, that you shouldn't, that you should not, a Talmud of the Tor, that says that maybe you shouldn't shave either. Okay? Shalom is stop there. But no, again, it says, shalom is stop there. And you shouldn't take a haircut. But the piece that I want to show you in the Avudra home is not just that, but where I have the solid underlines. V'chein kasav ibn hayarichi, sheshama b'shem rav zachra halevi, shamatza kasav b'sefer yashan habam esfar. They found from Svard that they didn't die from Pesach until Atzeres. They died from Pesach at Peros Atzeres. Peros Atzeres. What's Peros? Halfway to Atzeres. In other words, they died until Lag BaOmer. Okay? So the idea is they only died until Lag BaOmer. They didn't die. Therefore, you only have to keep the minug of not getting married up to Lag BaOmer. Okay? By the way, this is not just the Avudra home who says this. The Meiri on the Gemara in Yevamos says the same thing. I did not copy the Meiri for you, but the Meiri says the same thing. Now, by the way, if you look back in the Tor, the source we just did earlier, the Tor brings down both shitas. The Tor brings down that after my underlines, I'll try to trick you for a minute, the Yesh Mekomot, that they died up to Lag BaOmer. So you have both of those ideas. Okay, so let's just summarize what we saw till now, because up to now we've just built, and there's nothing interesting until now, just building blocks. Three different manuscripts, two Midrashim, one Gemara about what happened with the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, 12,000 pairs, 12,000. Some say when they died between Pesach and Shavuos, others don't mention it. There's a plethora of nuanced differences. Then we saw that it's codified in Halacha, etc., etc., etc. However, let's look at Rav Shrira Gaon. Rav Shrira Gaon, in his Igeres, he writes the following. That Rabbi Akiva had many Talmidim, look at H. Behamidim, Rabbi Akiva, Talmidim Harbe, he had many Talmidim. And how did those Talmidim die? Until now we said they died based on what? They died for Misa Mishuna Vasakra. They died because they didn't have respect for each other. What does Rav Shrira Gaon say? Behimid Rabbi Akiva, Behemid Rabbi Akiva, Talmidim Harbe, Behave Shmada, our Talmidim Sherebi Akiva. So translate that for me. Anybody? Translate that for me. Behave shmada. I'll tell me, what does that mean? Anybody? have a shmada. Guys.
The guy went after them?
Shmad. They died by the Gentiles. They were killed in shmad, being persecuted. So this Igeret of Rav Shira Gaon is in contradiction to the Gemara. What is the Gemara saying, Yevamos? They died from a Misa Mishuna Vasakra. They died because they didn't respect each other. The Igeret of Rav Shira Gaon says they died for a totally different reason. They died because they didn't respect. They died not because they didn't respect each other, because there was a persecution against them. There was a pogrom against them. That's why they didn't die. That's why they died. Does everyone understand that question? The Rav Shira Gaon is basically going against the Gemara.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, please help me. I want to explain that.
That's a sakra. Maybe it's a sakra.
Oh, we know what.
Okay, so you want so.
We know what it is.
Okay, what is a sakra? A sakra. Look at source M. Look at the source M.
It's the pathetic.
What is that?
There was a pogrom because
of state of the art heater. Right. Look at a sakra. Look at M. Look at M. What is a sakra? A sakra is a death that happens to you from when you tell lashon hara, and it's a throat disease of some type.
Diphtheria.
What?
Diphtheria.
Whatever. Okay. I'm sorry. Anyone else want to explain? But you're right. I want to explain how there's no steer between the Gemara and Rav Shira Gaon. I just don't think that's the answer. But you're right in theory. Yes.
There was a pogrom because of the disrespect.
Okay, let's take this idea. What's your name?
Kelly.
Kelly?
Yes.
So Kelly is saying there was a pogrom because of this issue. So I'd like to explain the following. I'd like to, guys, I need all of your attention. This is a little complicated, and it's an important leap, and it will hopefully put all those things together. Why don't we hold off the attendance sheet for afterwards, okay? Let's take what Kelly said and develop it a little bit more. I think that there's a message here. That's important to recognize. When the Gemara says they died because they didn't respect each other and they died because of a sakra, the Gemara is not a history book. It's not there to tell you the exact cause of death. It's there to tell you the philosophical cause of death. When the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva died, the Yerushalmi says, Narag ba'avonot, he died, not Rabbi Akiva, Bar Kochba died because of his sins, doesn't mean that's what killed him. It means he was killed. He was killed in the Bar Kokhba revolts. He failed because of his sins. Rabbi Akiva, as hopefully all of you know, was a believer that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. He was known as the person who carried the arms of Bar Kokhba. He believed that Bar Kokhba would bring, in 135 CE, would bring the Jewish people back, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and end the second diaspora. He not only believed that, but he preached it to all of his colleagues, all the rabbanim of the time, and they would respond to him that grass will grow from your cheeks, in other words, you will die, and before the Mashiach comes. So I would like to suggest to you that when the Gemara says they died of a sakra, they died of a misa mishuna, they died of a strange death, Rav Shira Gaon is aware of those Gemaras, as you and I are. He is just a historian. He's telling you the historical death. They're telling you the philosophical death. The students of Rabbi Akiva were soldiers in the army of Bar Kokhba. I'm going to prove this point. They died during the Hadrianic persecutions of 135 CE. They died in Beitar. And they failed in their revolt. They failed in their revolt, and therefore they were killed by Shmad. But as Kelly said, they may have been killed by Shmad, by the Romans, but that's not the reason why they failed in their revolt. They failed in their revolt because there wasn't unity amongst them. Look at the introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Bereishis. You'll see that the Netziv in Sefer Bereishis reminds us that there were a lot of very religious people in the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, but they were always calling names to other people who worshipped, who interacted with God differently. And they did it in the name of God, and that was the challenge of that generation, that they always looked at other people and they looked at them in a negative way. My point is that I'd like to show you that all of the nuances in the Gemara regarding 12,000, regarding 12,000 pairs, are all highlighting ideas that have to do with an army and to show you that within the Gemaras. Let's look at beginning with source I. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and others whether students of Torah should go into the army or not, or they're exempt from the army. What do you think Rabbi Akiva's approach is? Before we even look at the Gemara, if Rabbi Akiva's students died in the Hadrianic persecutions against Rome, is he for Talmud students going into the army or against them going into the army?
Four.
What do you think? Four. And that's exactly what the Gemara in Source I says, Sifri. Page 3, Source I. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, Shneim Osar Elef. By the way, the whole idea of Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, 12,000 is the normal amount of an army. Talmud Lomar, Lechol Matos Yisrael, Tishlechu Atzava, Lahavi et Shifto Shalevi. Rabbi Akiva says that you also Shevet Levi, that should be exempt, they also have to fight the war. So notice in this Sifri that has nothing to do with our story about the students of Rabbi Akiva, the paradigm of an army is 12,000. The paradigm of an army is 12,000. And notice how Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that Talmud students are the ones who also go to war. It's even more than that. Look at Source J. When it speaks about the war of Bar Kokhba and Beitar, notice the language that's used. Amar Rav Yochanan, Shmonim Elef Zug Shel Tokei Kronot. It doesn't say there were 160,000 people. It says there were 80,000 pairs. When it discusses the Bar Kokhba revolt and the way the army was orchestrated, it says it in groups of pairs because of the commanding structure of that time. So now you're starting to see Gemaras that have nothing to do, at least at first blush, with the story of Rabbi Akiva. And taking the idea that Kelly started and we've developed here, you're starting to see a pattern. It's not that Rav Shmuel Gaon is against the Gemara that one was Shmad and one was Amisa Mishuna because they didn't respect each other. No, they died during the Hadrianic persecutions. But the reason, the philosophical reason why they failed was because they didn't respect each other. 12,000 pairs, that's not, you see different Midrashim and Gemaras using differently, but they're all pointing to paradigms of describing the armies, even either in the time of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba, or in general an army. And Pesach Til Atzeres, why Pesach Til Atzeres? If Rav Shmuel Gaon is right, it's a din in Shmad, they just have a war between Pesach and Shavuos? No. Pesach and Shavuos is known for a very interesting thing. Look at Source K. Hu haya omer, they used to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that Gehenim is open for those who have sinned when? Between Pesach and Atzeres. So why do we consider that all 12,000 pairs, 12,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Atzeres? Not because Rav Shmuel Gaon writes that they mamish died during that time. They may have died for a longer period of time. But the bottom line is that Pesach to Atzeres is the time that Gehenim is open in order to help people purge from their iniquities. And therefore, it's the appropriate time to describe 12,000 students or 12,000 pairs of students that died because of their unwillingness to interact with each other, which mutual respect, even if they were killed not from a misa mishuna, but the misa was shmad. It's called asakra because they didn't treat each other with respect. And if you turn to the next page of our handout, page 4. You'll see that page 4 says, Source M says, who dies from Lashon Hara? Asakra is died when? When people say Lashon Hara to each other. My point is that you see a whole bunch of sources here that I think come together very nicely. There isn't a stira, there isn't a contradiction amongst the sources, but rather I think there's a hand-in-glove relationship to them. The hand-in-glove relationship is, we mark between Pesach and Shavuos for the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, not because they maybe died during that time, but perhaps equally as important because Pesach and Shavuos is a time in which Gehenim is in full service, so to say. And why 12,000, 12,000 pairs? That's the description of the armies of Rabbi Akiva. And they may have died due to the Romans, or by their hands of the Romans, but what caused their death, what caused their failure, was a lack of unity, a lack of respect for each other. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to comment that on Tisha B'Av, in the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av, you have words of Nechama. Because even on Tisha B'Av, when the Beit HaMikdash is burning, you can have words of Nechama. But on Parshas Vayeshev, if you look in the Haftorah, there are no words of Nechama. Why? Because Parshas Vayeshev is when a Jew, namely the Shvatim, sold another Jew, namely Yosef, into slavery. And you cannot have Nechama, you cannot have comfort when a Jew is willing to sell another Jew into slavery. Let the Romans burn the base of Mikdash, there's still opportunity for Nechama. Sell another Jew into slavery, it's not possible for there to be Nechama at that moment. So if all of this is true that I just said, then the question I want to ask you is the following, before we go to the final sources. Why do we commemorate the loss of Rabbi Akiva's students if they didn't treat each other with respect? Why do we commemorate them? And why was between Pesach and Shavuos picked, in addition to the reason why we just said, or it works in a synergistic way with the reason we just said that Gehenim is fully functioning during that period of time? Can anyone tell me why we commemorate the loss of Rabbi Akiva students if this is what they represented, especially between Pesach and Shavuos? Yes, please.
This is a very risky time. So it's a very risky time. We see that these Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva probably weren't just simple people. They're probably right. Holy people. Even they were definitely in this area. So we're saying, we give you a heads up and say, watch out during this time what they fell into, and do what you can to treat the questions yourself.
Okay, very good. Very good answer. Does anyone have another answer? What happens between Pesach and Shavuos for the Jewish people? Yes. Geula. They move from physical redemption to spiritual redemption. That's what Sefiras HaOmer is. It's the bridge from the physical to the spiritual. Shavuos does not have a date in the Torah. It's 50 days after Pesach. Well, can the Jewish people be redeemed? What impedes the Jewish people from being redeemed? What are the impediments of the Jewish people being redeemed? If you had to write a laundry list, it's a very long list, but put in the top three, what would be your top three reasons why the Jewish people cannot be redeemed?
Sinat
Chinam is on the top of the list.
It's a general violation.
What?
It's a general violation. It's also been a damn from there.
Right. Perfect.
But he can't forgive his sins against other people.
Okay. Well, if Rabbi Akiva's students who were knowledgeable but didn't treat each other with respect, if we're going to have a chance for full geula and Shavuos, we have to pay mention to the challenges of Rabbi Akiva's students that they were not able to celebrate that vision. They were not able to celebrate what you just articulated so beautifully. And therefore, between Pesach and Shavuos, it is necessary for us it's necessary for us to remember their losses in order to remind us, Lo nagu kavod zeh b'zeh, you cannot achieve the goals of Shavuos if you don't treat other Jews and other human beings with respect. Even those that may embrace their understanding of Torah differently than yours. That is the point. Therefore, you cannot get married. Married celebrates Jewish continuity. Married celebrates the capacity for us to guarantee our future. You cannot guarantee your future when the Jewish people don't treat each other with respect. Lo nagu kavod zeh b'zeh. That's the major motif between Pesach and Shavuos. Geula, what impedes Geula? Sinat chinam. What do we remind ourselves during that period of time? And that is the quintessential act of Sinat chinam. In a context that deals with the second diaspora experience, and that is the loss of Rabbi Akiva students because they didn't treat each other with respect. So these Gemaras are not in contradiction. They actually work in a hand-in-glove relationship with each other. But, yes?
What does the Gemara gain by telling us specifically the Kala and Sakra? What is that?
Because there's another Gemara that tells us a Sakra is due to Lashon Hara.
But that wasn't the cause of their death.
Yeah, but it was a spiritual cause of their death.
Lashon Hara was not that.
A sakra. No, if you look at Source M says, any time it says in the Gemara that someone dies of a sakra, it's because they had Lashon Hara. So it's almost a key. It's a key. Sometimes the Gemara...
We already know that they died of Lashon. Because the Gemara is telling us that they died from Lashon Hara.
Lo nagu, and so therefore, they died lo nagu kavod zebezeh. So therefore, what death do you get when you lo nagu kavod zebezeh? What death do you get? A sakra. Even though they may have been physically killed by the spears of the Romans, they died because of the death of a sakra.
A sakra is an effect, not a cause, though. This is what you get.
I'm sorry? I didn't really
understand. A sakra is an effect. Like, you get death of a sakra. Sakra is not a cause. Lashon Hara is the cause.
Lashon Hara is the cause. I'm sorry.
So how can you say that the cause was the Romans killing them if a sakra is a form of death?
So I think when Rav Shmuel Gaon says Shmada, I have to answer that Rav Shmuel Gaon, unless he's just going against the Gemara.
But the answer they're giving, though, seems to contradict.
No, it does. I don't think. I think what is, for example, you have.
So is the sakra, is that something that you died from?
I think that there are times in the Gemara. I mean, it's clear. The Rambam says this in his introduction to Parakhelet, that when the Gemara many times tries to cover philosophical ideas, so that only the people who spend a little time have a malice in it will understand them properly. I think many times the Gemara uses ideas uses metaphors or uses other ways of trying to communicate messages. So when it says, I'll give you another example. It says about Rabbi Chutzpis, what do we say in the Kina of Rabbi Chutzpis in the Asar Rigen Malchus? Does anyone remember? No, more than that. What about Rabbi Chutzpis? His power of learning was so great that what? When a bird would fly over him, the bird would get killed by fire. Nowhere, anywhere in Shas or in Medrash does it say that about Rabbi Chutzpis. Never says that. It does say that about somebody else. No?
Yonasan ben
Uzziel. It says that about Yonasan. By the way, there's another Gemara. The Gemara says, who is Rabbi Chutzpis compared to? Yonatan ben Uzziel. So all of a sudden you have one Gemara that says Rabbi Chutzpis is compared to Yonatan ben Uzziel. So you use the transitive law of homiletics here, and you say like this, well, if about Yonatan ben Uzziel it says that a bird flies over him, gets burnt. And if Rabbi Chutzpis is like Yonatan ben Uzziel, so when we write the Kina of Ela Eskara, we can throw in that when Rabbi Chutzpis would learn, a bird would go over and would get burnt. Nowhere does it say that anywhere in Shas. But the idea is there's a code there. If you understand the code, you understand what it's trying to do. I think that's the same message with the Asakra piece. Bimei Matizyo Ben Yochanan. What's the next words of Aharon Nisan there? Kohen Gadol. Matizyo was not a Kohen Gadol. He was not. He wasn't a Kohen Gadol. He acted like one, though, in his heroism and his things. Therefore, he's called that. You see many times that Chazal do that in order to make a point. Okay? Many times. And I could suggest many more, but time does not allow us to be able to do that. But there are many, many more times that happen. However, what you start to see later in the poskim is not only a prohibition regarding not getting married, which is like, that's like not doing simcha, not doing things that are extra simcha. But there became another prohibition, and that was what I would call proactive mourning, not to shave, not to take haircuts. Where did that come from? We don't really see that in the early Gaonic period. We start to see that later. For example, look at source M. N is in Nancy, page 4. Some people shave. By the way, there are some people, look what it says here. that they only stop shaving by Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and Rosh Chodesh Iyar till right before Shavuos they have Avelus. How does that work? Why from Rosh Chodesh Iyar? I understand the minhag from Pesach until Shavuos. I understand the minhag from Pesach until Lag BaOmer because of that very manuscript. What I don't understand is, I don't understand this idea of starting Avelus from Iyar. Where do you get that idea about starting Avelut from Iyar? You see he quotes that, the Ramah who quotes it. You see that? Mihu baharbei mekamot noagim l'staper ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar to whatever. Let's look at some other minhagim that we see. I want to show you a few other minhagim, and then I'm going to show you some other piece. Look at O. It says like this. Sefer Minhagim, page 4. V'yesh mekamot, do me a favor, let's sign that afterwards, because we only have like 5 more minutes and I want to get this point. V'yesh mekamot, she'ein omrim oto, you don't say avarachamim, ela bein Pesach v'atzeres. They only said avarachamim between Pesach and Atzeres. By the way, we don't say avarachamim during most of this time. Va'az omrim afilu kishvavarchim achodesh. They would even say that Shabbos mevarchim. You bless the month of Sivan, they would say it. You bless the month of Iyar, they would say it. Look at the Maril. Ein omrim tchina, you don't say tachnun. Merish chodesh Sivan, where I have underlined, ad achar isruchag. But Magensa, in Mainz, omrim tchina, you say tachnun, until the 3rd of Sivan. They said it after Pesach. Ki gimel Sivan mit anim, because on gimel Sivan they fasted, and we'll get to why in a second. Let's go further. Look at where I have underlined the hard underlines. The last complete line that I have underlined. It says Avarachamim Ela B'Shabbos Shalunei Shavuos. They had the minhag that the only time they said Avarachamim in the Rhineland area. It's only right before Shavuos. They never said it the rest of the year. Let's look at the next page, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "V'yesh mekomot she'ein omrim oto." You don't say Avarachamim kishbavarchem achodesh milvad b'bnei atzvira, except for Svira, where you say it even when you venture chodesh. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, you say it so much during Svira that even on the Shabbos Mevarchim Achodesh, if there's two brises in the shul, if there's a bris in the shul and Mevarchim Achodesh, you still say Avarachamim. They're highlighting a point here. And the Magen Avraham says the same thing. Okay. In fact, you have in source T, not only don't you shave, you also aren't allowed to cut your nail. All right? Let's turn to the next page, page 6. In worms, the Sefer Rokeach writes this. There's a little overview of who he was. He watched his family being killed during the Crusades. Mit anim al gzeirah shayi b'Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Not only that, they fasted on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Not only did they say Avarachmim, they fasted on Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Now you have one last source I want to show you here. It's Sefer Minhag Tov. This guy lived in a very interesting place. He lived on a port city, and he gathered all the minhagim of Ashkenaz. Look what he writes: Minhag Tov Samach Aleph, the bottom of the page. I'm going to need your help in translating a word. Minhag Tov Shelo Listaper V'Shelo Lechanech Sus. You shouldn't get yourself new clothing. You shouldn't shave. V'Shum Davar Chadash L'Tanei B'Merchatz. Take showers, lasot sipranav, me'achar Pesach ad atzeres, from Pesach until after atzeres. L'chvod ha-chassidim, ha-tmimim, ha-yisharim, shen masru nafsham, atzmam akadush Hashem. Where does that passage come from? Avarachamim, right? Don't do it because of those people who gave their lives akadush Hashem. Avo b'yom mag ba'omer, mutar, b'cho elu mipnei hanei shahaya, melag va'ad atzeres, b'mekomo omeid l'chumra. In other words, like, well, Omer, you can because no one died. Who's he talking about here? Which people do you think he's talking about?
Students.
The students of Rabbi Akiva. So, I've thrown all these makaros at you. Let me give you a piece of historical information. The first crusade, which destroyed the German communities, happened during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. Especially, the hardest part was from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until after Shavuos. And that's when Avraham Rachamim was written for that experience, the martyred cities of the first crusades. So therefore, there were some communities that only said Avraham Rachamim during that period of time. There were other cities that said the whole year, but they said, even if there are 16 brises in shul, if it's between Rosh Chodesh Iyar and if it's Rosh Chodesh, and then it's Rosh Chodesh, Bo Bayom, you still say Avraham Rachamim, because we wrote it for those days. Some said, not only that, but we fast on those days. And some actually, started, you see a melting of Rabbi Akiva students who stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, and the idea Shemasru Atzmam Akedush Hashem, that is the language used when you wrote Avraham Rachamim. That's focusing on the first crusades. What I'm trying to show you here is that the whole notion of Sfirat HaOmer started off with Rabbi Akiva students, but then there was an added layer of mourning put there for the loss of the Jewish communities during the first crusader period. That's when you started to have the proactive mourning. Initially you had mourning in which you weren't allowed to get married. Then there was proactive mourning. What was the proactive mourning? No haircuts, no shaving, no cutting of your nails, no showering, no this, no that. This whole proactive mourning. And we kept up those traditions. I think we kept up those. And by the way, there's a little piece from the Second Pew Judaica that just summarizes that, which you can read on your own. I think we kept up those traditions for the same reason why we remember the students of Rabbi Akiva. Because there were many other times in Jewish history that there were murdered communities, tragically, many times in Jewish history. And in fact, it's interesting. I didn't include it in my handout to you, but I'm going to read from it. In one of the keynotes on Tisha B'Av that deals with the destruction of these communities, it actually says, Mi Yitein Roshimayim. The Baal HaKina says the following. Listen, we're not allowed to add extra fast days. We're not allowed to add extra fast days, but never forget us. By the way, parenthetically, V'chi ein lahosif moed shever v'taveira. We cannot add. That's why Rabbi Soloveitchik did not endorse Yom HaShoah, because Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that Yom HaShoah was actually something that should be part of Tisha B'Av, and he used this as his proof text when it came to the First Crusades. My point is that both cases of Sfirat HaOmer, the students of Rabbi Akiva, and the communities of Mainz, Worms, the Rhineland communities, I think that our responsibility to remember them is predicated on the notion of the fact that a Jew that does not remember the tzaras of other Jews cannot be part of a redemptive process. You need, in order for you to be able to celebrate in the simcha of the Jewish people, you have to know their tragedies. Whether it's the tragedy of Sinat Chinam or the tragedy of the Crusader situation, you cannot achieve Geula on Shavuos if you don't mark these tragic experiences. The whole idea that a person who gets converted needs to be circumcised, you need to feel the pain of the Jew, you need to be connected to the Jew before you even go into the mikvah and embrace the ideals of what Torah is all about. It's a prerequisite. That's what I think Sfiras HaOmer has to teach us. We learn from the death of Rabbi Akiva's students the responsibility of mutual respect. We learn from the tragedies of the Crusades the idea that a Jew that forgets the tragedies of the past is not only bound, unfortunately, to revisit them in the future, but is unfortunately cannot be part of the redemptive process. Because only a Jew that celebrates the redemptive, the tragedies and recognizes the tragedies of the past is zoche to celebrate in the Geula Shleima, and that's what Shavuos is all about. And therefore, it's appropriate that we remember these tragic experiences that happened between Pesach and Shavuos. Okay.